We're going to talk about trees instead of vines today. So I hope that you will gain something from this. This message is specifically and especially for dads. However, it is applicable to every single one of us. So I hope that everyone will pay close attention to it. I want to take the opportunity to say thank you to dads here today. Dads, grandpas, father figures, for all that you do. For the ways in which you have raised your children, the ways that you continue to be a father figure or fill that role for someone, whether they're a biological child or not, that you are a faithful Christian example to them here at church. And we know that being a godly father, a godly man, is so very important in the home, is so very important in our community, and at the national level as well. And so thank you, fathers. We also want to acknowledge today that God is our Heavenly Father. And we learn this from scriptures, and we realize that God made a sacrifice. And isn't that what being a father is all about? But God made that greatest sacrifice when he gave his son Jesus Christ so that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could have a restored relationship with him and feel his peace in our lives. And so today we realize that the blessings that we receive, the blessings that we request in prayer, are blessings that we can receive as fathers, as Christians, but they don't come just by asking for them. They come by living that Christian faith, by living that out each and every day of our lives. And in order to receive those blessings, we must till that ground. We must plow that soil. We must take care of the things that are keeping us from growing and pulling those out and getting rid of them, the stumbling blocks, the rocks that are in the soil of our lives. Remove those things so that we can grow. I think you all know that I grew up in a very small community. It's just about an hour and 15 minutes or so from here, a little town called Mowiqua. It's the one and only. There's no other Mowiqua in the entire world. That's our claim to fame. And it was a great little community, primarily a bedroom community, but those who didn't work in Decatur worked in the fields. There were a lot of farmers in my little hometown of Mowiqua, Illinois. And I noticed, because my dad loved to drive around at night when he got home from work, and he'd take us on a drive, and we might get a sundae or we get something to drink. And he loved wildlife, and so we go looking for birds. We'd see deer, we'd see pheasant and quail and turkeys and, you know, all those kinds of animals that were out and about. And that's something I always will remember about my dad. It was a very special time. I do remember, though, many times saying, are we going to be home yet? But we still got to have that experience, and boy, wouldn't I give to have that experience just one more time. But anyway, I also noticed that when we were out in the field, out in the driving around in the country, because that's primarily what my little town was, you would see farmers, depending on the time of the year, out working in their fields. The farmers would be out there tilling, they would be out there planting. In my day, you'd see during, and I did this, what was called walking beans, and maybe a lot of people don't remember what that is, but the farmers actually hired high school kids to go out and walk in the bean fields and pull the weeds and take them out. And so that was before the days of all this fancy fertilizer and tractors that could make their way in. So we did that. I realized quickly that there was a lot of work to being a farmer by growing up in that little town. It was hard work. And some of you today who still live in a farming community or live on a farm, whether it's farming crops or you're involved with animals, you know that it's a never-ending task. It's something that always needs help. The same is true for us as Christians. The same is true for us as men of God. It's a never-ending task. It's like revitalizing the church. It's like continuing to grow in our faith. It never stops. It always continues on. And so we take that message, that picture that is presented to us in the book of Psalms today. And that is one of the themes that we see played out throughout all of Scripture. As you know, if you've been here the last few weeks, we've been talking about the vineyard. There's all kinds of examples throughout Scripture where God uses the theme of the farm, of agriculture. And so you see that all throughout, and today's Scripture is no different. And people of the time would have known about this because that's what they all did in biblical times. Most people made their living by farming. And so when David, who wrote this psalm, begins here in chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Psalms, we see there that he's speaking about something that would have been familiar to the people there, and that would help them grow. Now, I don't know about you, and I've said this before too, I don't do too well with gardening or keeping plants alive at my house. I don't have too much success with that. But I think maybe there's just a little bit of farming in each and every one of us. I know I sure enjoy the fruits of the labor of those farmers. Last night we had some real good corn on the cob, didn't we, Monty? We had some good corn on the cob last night, didn't we, buddy? Yeah, that was really, really good. So I want to read today from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And here is that scripture. And you can follow along in your phone app or in your Bibles. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate both day and night. He is like a tree that is planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So today, as I read from the book of Psalms, most of you know that the book of Psalms, or that these types of scripture, are called wisdom literature. There's a reason for that, because when you read them, you find wisdom. So you gain knowledge, and I think it's different, that knowledge is different, but you gain a wisdom as you navigate these kinds of scriptures. And this book of Psalms is given to us to help us navigate life. That's why we have it. Many times when you read the Psalms, you find out that they're very honest and they're very raw as you read through them. And there's no delineating. I mean, it's just right there in your face kind of scripture. I like it because you understand the difference between good and evil. It's very well spelled out there in what we should do and how we should act. So it begins with, "Blessed is the man." Right away, that would have captured the imagination, the sight, the ear of a Jewish person, particularly a Jewish man. Blessed is the man, it says there in that opening passage. Blessing is one of the most important concepts of the Jewish culture. Now, when you and I, when we pray for blessing, I'm not sure that we pray for the same kind of blessing that is referred to here in the scripture. And I want you to think about that, and I want to point it out to you this morning. Everyone is looking for a blessing. Everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone desires that blessing from the Lord, or at least most people do. But what does it mean? I think there's really a choice here that we have. There's either one of two ways you can go, and it's very clear right here in the scripture. The one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked will be a blessed man. The one who does not receive counsel from the wicked will be a blessed man. And then he goes on to say, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So if you're doing those things, you're not going to be a blessed man. But he goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it. He thinks about it day and night. It's always right there with him. So we have a choice to make. And what blessing means is to be happy, to be fulfilled, to walk on a straight and narrow path. That is what God is calling us to in this passage of Scripture. This word, this biblical passage right here, is not about the earthly blessings of money, of fame, of possession, of power. And those are the things that I think many people today and Christians pray for that. God, bless me with extra money. God, help me get this position. God, help me to be wealthy. Whatever the case may be, that is not what this scripture means, and it's not the intent of what it means to be blessed. Blessing is asking God to help you to stay on the straight and narrow and to abide by his will and by the things that he would have you to do in this life so that you can be blessed. So let's make that clear. And so the next time that someone prays for a blessing, oh God, bless me with, then think about that and remember the true meaning of the word as it was intended in Scripture was that that would be a blessing from God and that you are in line with God's will. I want to make 3 points this morning. And the first one is this. Don't search for blessings where they can't be found. Don't search for blessings where they cannot be found. We often search for blessings in many different places, don't we? We search, and it's just like what I just said, but we search for blessings in something we can buy, something we can purchase, and thinking that will help us to be fulfilled. We search for something in wealth and think that we're going to achieve greatness with that. We search for influence. We search for power. But that's not what blessing is. How many of you here, you've all had kids, most of you here today have kids. Do you remember what it was like in the morning getting kids ready for school? Yeah. How many times did you spend way too long looking for a pair of shoes or a backpack or the homework that they did the night before and forgot to put in their backpack? Okay, you're laughing, and so I assume you all know what I'm talking about. We look for things where they cannot be found instead of realizing that the shoes should have been put in the closet where they belong and that the child should go immediately to the closet, grab the shoes, put them on, and be ready to go for school. They could have sent out a search party. They could have, you know, sent out the army, whatever it may be, but they couldn't find those shoes. Now, let's not just reap it all on the kids today. How about that time when you couldn't find your keys? Yeah, how about that? How about the looking for the remote control? Yeah, dads, you know that. When I was growing up, there was not a remote control. My brother and I were the remote controls. Hey, boys, change the channel to this for dad, please. That was a remote control in my day. How about looking for that wallet or that purse? As you're getting ready to go out to the store or go out to eat and you can't find it. Looking for something where it should be, but we often look for something where it's not going to be. But if we put it where it's always supposed to be, we should always be able to find it. So searching where their needs will never be met. People do that. We all are guilty of it. We search for something that can't always be found. I remember last year, Patty and I had gone somewhere, and I don't remember exactly where it was, And we got off the plane. We'd flown, got off the plane. It was time to pick up the baggage as it was going around and around. I picked up my suitcase. She identified her suitcase. We picked it up, put it in the bag, in the car, and we drove home. And all of a sudden, I get this notice on my phone, something about an AirTag. I did not know at that time about an AirTag. But an AirTag, those of you who are smiling know what this AirTag is. It helps identify something that you've lost. And so this thing is going off, and I'm like, what? And we were home. We had gotten from St. Louis Airport to Greenville, Illinois, into our home. And all of us, we were trying to open the suitcase. Somebody locked it. We couldn't figure how. I was just about ready to break the lock. And then one of the boys said, you know what an AirTag is, Dad? I said, no, I don't know what an AirTag is. Well, that's somebody else's suitcase. It was someone else's suitcase. And so we had to drive all the way back to St. Louis and exchange that suitcase for Patty's suitcase. So we look for things that aren't ours, and we can't always find that fulfillment that we need. As I look around our world today, and as I think about fathers, I think we do the same thing. We try to look around and find things that are going to bring us satisfaction, only to find out that happiness really isn't there. That happiness really isn't there. And so there are three mentalities that are mentioned here within this scripture. But don't search for a blessing where it can't be found. The first one of these mentalities is, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Again, we need to consider, what does wicked mean? It means that we're restless. In the biblical terminology, it means that we are restless. So many of us in our world today are anxious, we're restless, we don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. And so we are restless. The word wicked also means that it's an ungoverned passion that you and I have, something that's not under control. And I think this is a good description for a lot of the world today. The world is restless, and we stray from the path that God has us on. But the blessing cannot be found when we're walking with the wicked, when we are associating ourselves with other people who are also restless. We will always be out of reach. We will always be unsatisfied if we're in the company of those who are also restless, or in biblical terms, wicked. We think, if we just had a different job, then we'd be happy. Or we think, if we had a different marriage, then we'd be happy. Or if we had a bigger house, then we would really be something in the community. Or we think about, if we had a better car, or if there were just some different circumstances in my life, then it would all come together. But do you know why the author, David, warns us about walking in the way of the wicked? Why he does that is because he knows. He knows from his own life, but he also is warning us, watch out. Keep from seeing all that you have in life is what happens. And so when you consider what you do have, you have children. You have grandchildren. Many of you have had a good job or still have a good job. You have a wife or a husband or a spouse, and that you love them. Don't miss out on what you have right now in front of your face, because I'm here to tell you that that time flies by. It wasn't just too many years ago that my three little boys were about the same size as my little grandson up here, and that time just flew by. And I'm here to tell you I missed some of it, because I was trying to better myself. I was trying to climb that ladder and be successful, and I missed out on a lot of things as a dad. To this day, though, some of the best things that I've been involved with, and you know I'm a baseball fan, are the games that my boys played, and I've tried to make every single one of those. Those are the best games that I ever attend. Certainly better than the Cardinals are playing right now anyway. Yeah, get an amen for that. Come on now. The author also says, in addition to walking with the wicked, he says, do not stand in the way of sinners. And that's not like blocking their way. It's like walking in their way, in quotes. So do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not be like them, to stand in the way of sinners. And the sinner is defined as one who travels in the wrong direction. And so again, it's about getting back on that path and walking in that straight and narrow way. Essentially, the sinner is one who makes a choice of these two roads, these two paths. One will lead to blessing, and the other one will not. And we have to make that choice. Standing in the negative, though, is really easier than we think, isn't it? You know, it's good to get together sometimes, we think, you know, and gripe about stuff and gossip about stuff and, you know, talk about things that are going on. And I'm guilty of this as well. We all do this. Standing in this negative place is easy. But just like with the GPS who drives you nuts when you make the wrong turn and says, recalibrate, 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 turn and make a safe and legal U-turn. That's what we need to do. When we're in that way of sin, we need to stop. We need to find a way that we can safely turn around and get back on the right direction. Lastly, the author says that we do not sit in the way of mockery. We do not stand. We do not walk. And now we do not sit in the seat of mockery. I'm afraid that this is one of the things that is the most dangerous thing that's happening in our world today. You know it, you read about it, you see it. There are people constantly that mock God. He's archaic. He doesn't mean what he used to. That Bible, well, that's just somebody's opinion. And these people mock the Word of God. They mock that we pray. They mock that we read the Bible. They mock that we attend church. Do not sit in the seat of mockery. Mockery is somebody that ridicules, somebody that sees God as antiquated and foolish and laughable. We've seen this play out, and it plays out more and more. And we must guard against that religious freedom that we have in this country, because a lot of countries do not have it. The other thing that's very dangerous about mockers is that they influence other people. And in today's world, that's very simple. Just pull out the little computer in your pocket or your purse, and you get on one of the social media apps and you start doing it and see how many followers you can get and how many people will comment on your comment. And then you know what mockery is all about, and you try to influence others. They see the idea of resurrection as a joke. How could that happen? Virgin birth? You got to be kidding me. We all know how that happens. And so they become cynical. We must be careful not to walk, not to sit or stand or sit. Blessing is not found in any of those places. We know it. Yet we all fall prey to them from time to time. We must cultivate. Like those farmers, we must continue to plow the fields of our lives. And that is when we find the greatest blessing. And we keep ourselves from those dangerous places. So he goes on to say then, rather than being planted in those areas, we have a choice to turn toward something else. The writer said, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord both day and night. The last time I checked, there's just day and there's night. There's nothing, I mean, there's stuff, in, not really anything in between. So that means pretty much all the time. You meditate on God's word day and night, the law of the Lord. The second point that I want to make this morning is that we should plant ourselves in the word of God. That we should plant ourselves in the Word of God. That we delight in it. that we meditate on it, and that we do it often. And the word meditate can mean a lot of things. It can mean that we utter, that we speak, or we meditate. When we meditate on God's word, it is within us. We hear it. We live it. It's like one other scripture says that you tie it on your finger, you place it on your forehead, that the scripture, the word of God is in you. It becomes part of you, and it becomes who you are. It's a living document. Meditating on God's law is choosing a path, and that path of these two paths, these two roads, is the only one that will lead to blessing. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, there is a prayer. And the prayer goes like this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. David is saying here in this short verse that he wants the meditations of his life, to be acceptable, to be worthy of God, to be worthy of God's blessings. That is how you receive the blessings of God. That is how you continue to follow him. Now, on this Father's Day, perhaps some of you will leave here in the next little while, and you're going to go home and you're going to fire up the grill. Now, if you took some time yesterday, you might have spent some time marinating your steak. Now, if you're like me, you like a good cut of meat. So I really like that filet mignon. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. But I've found that if you take that and you marinate it, you soak it in some sauce, and every guy's got their own sauce. Just like ladies keep their secrets, you know, from all their baking things. You don't find out about it for a long time, if ever. Maybe after they're gone and gone to heaven. But you find the recipe box. But all guys got some sauce that they like, and they marinate that steak, and they put it on the grill, and it just, oh, you know, and then it just kind of falls apart. It's so good. But when you just slop something on there the day of, well, it's okay. But when you allow that to marinate that piece of meat, ooh, man, so, so good. I hope that some of you guys will get a chance to do that today. Yeah, makes me hungry too. But you think about that and apply it to the scripture. When you allow God's word to just marinate in you, to read it, to think about it, to pray on it, to write it down, to put it on the mirror, or type a message to yourself, or share it in a text thread or an email thread, or put it out there on social media so that people can see that. That's what marinating in God's word is all about. It's here that we find how to live that blessed life. When we sit with it, it makes us a better person. It makes us a better church, makes us a better society, makes us a better dad when we can meditate and marinate in that scripture. So let's recap where we've been, and then we're going to close off here. Don't search for a blessing where it can't be found. Plant yourself in the Word of God, and finally, deep roots produce good fruit. Psalm 1, verse 3. This man is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Ah, there we go. There we go. Deep roots produce good fruit. So avoiding those three mentalities, and let's review them real quick. Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Do not stand in the way of sinners, and do not sit in the seat of mockers, but instead meditate on God's word both day and night, all the time, just like when you're praying, without ceasing. in the very actions and the day-to-day activities that you constantly have this attitude of being in God's Word and listening to it. Even when you don't have these scriptures with you or you don't have your phone in your pocket, you should know them and they should be part of your heart and they should spew out as you're thinking about the day and what decision you're going to make. This is the difference between a good and a great father, a good and a great Christian. Good farmers know that they have to plant the seed, that they have to prepare the soil, that they have to pull the weeds out, that they have to fertilize, that they have to pray for rain and the right amount of sun and everything to come together at the right time so that those plants will get deep roots and that they will prosper and that they will not flourish, that they will not rather give up or break away, but they will flourish. It'll be like the fruits of the Spirit that we've mentioned here in the last couple weeks as well from Galatians chapter 5, and we talked about those fruits of Spirit that are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Families that are living that out, fathers that are being dads that teach their children about those characteristics are good dads. They are the ones that will be blessed because they are planting themselves and they are planting their children in that good soil. Now, you may be here today and thinking to yourself, yeah, I got this. That's how I live. Good. That's great. I'm sure if you're like me, though, you know that you don't have it all together. That there are those times when you screw up and you wish you could start over. You wish that things, that you would have made different choices, that you would have lived a better life, that you wouldn't have followed the wrong path, that we shouldn't have walked where we walked, we shouldn't have stood where we stood, and we shouldn't have sat where we sat. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, you know what, I have messed up. I am too far gone. There's no way that I'll ever be able to get back on that right path. That is not what this passage says. We all have regrets. We all have skeletons in our closet. We all did things we wish we hadn't have done, and we wish we had another chance. Well, guess what? You're still alive. You're still above ground. You're taking nourishment, and you're still taking breath. God has given you another chance. Today, this moment, right now, it's never too late. It's never too late to give your life to God. In farming, they cultivate the ground. The farmer plows the dirt. They remove the weeds. They remove the rocks. They have choices that they have to make. There was a gentleman who, for the very first time, he was a young farmer, and he was talking to an elder statesman of a farmer, and he said, "How many times do I have to plow this field in preparation for planting?" And the experienced farmer said to him in reply, you plow, and you plow, and you plow again." Friends, I have to keep plowing in my life because it'd really be easy sometimes to just let the soil go. Let the weeds continue to grow. Let the rocks continue to lay there and just stand around and see what happens. It's easy to look at your life and feel like it may be a lost cause. Things haven't gone the way that you've wanted. You've been mistreated. Life hasn't been good to you. It hasn't been fair to you. Why are all these other people receiving these blessings? Well, it may not be because they're from God. The blessings that you desire are the blessings that come from God and from being in His Word and walking in His way. Maybe you're here today and you think you've just made too many mistakes. That you've walked in the way of the wicked, you've stood in the way of the sinner, and that you have sat with the mockers. But if that is the case, start plowing. And like that old farmer said, keep plowing and plow some more and plow some more and keep plowing until your field is ready to receive what God has for you. I would like to close this morning with asking all of the fathers to stand, if able, where they are. So if you could do that right now. Now, for those of you that are not standing, maybe it's your dad or your grandfather, your husband that's standing next to you, or it's someone that you look up to in this church, I'd like for you to simply just reach out and place a hand on them. And if you don't have a family member here with you today or a friend, you can reach out and hold their hand or put your hand on them, and we're going to pray. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this wisdom in your word, that we can walk in your way, that we can stand firm in your presence, and that we can be seated in the love of God. I thank you for the men that are standing now, and for the way in which they have walked in this world. And because we're human and because we were born into sin, we've all made mistakes. We've all done things of which we're embarrassed and we wish we could do again. Lord, you've given us that opportunity today to get back on the right path, to make that choice and to follow you. And it is in that way, Lord, that we will begin to find meaning and purpose and vision for our lives, even though we may have messed up in the past. We ask your blessing upon these men today, that you help them to know that you walk with them and that you are the ultimate example as the Father of all the universe. And we thank you that in you, Father, there is power. There is the example of the greatest love in sacrificing your Son, and there is within that Son's resurrected body the Spirit, which comforts us all and guides us in this life. Help us, Lord, to marinate ourselves in your word, in prayer, and to worship you and to walk in your ways. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.